This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Now you have a reason to crack a cold one before the game. This is Hockey Nation with Gord Stellick and Todd Halushko on Toronto Sports Radio. Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Hockey Nation, I'm Roger Lajoie for Gord Stellick. Gord will join us in the 11 o'clock hour. Todd Halushko is there. That dramatic music sometimes to me is like, hey, that's kind of overstated, isn't it? Not today, it's not. It is free agent frenzy, and the National Hockey League will be all over it, of course, once it becomes official at noon and players can start signing. Todd, great to see you. Happy Canada Day. This is going to be a fun day.
Hey, happy Canada Day to you too, Roger. You know, it was funny because I walked in this morning and, I'm expecting Gord Stellick and, but I knew you were going to come in. But
you must have been pleasantly surprised.
No, I looked in and I go, what the heck happened to Gord? Did he go on a crash diet? Like, this is fantastic now.
That is not accurate.
I could give him that heat. I've been working with him all year. But yeah, no, this is going to be a, I'm going to be very cautious because we did, obviously, you were up in Buffalo too, but we covered the draft. And prior to the draft, Gordon and I were talking, and I said, you know what? There's going to be some movement today. There's going to be a bunch of things. It's going to be awesome. The first round, the first couple picks go by. The excitement is fantastic. And all of a sudden, just duds after that. No movement, no real trades, no nothing. So I'm optimistically cautious today when it comes to thinking about some big deals. I mean, obviously, the 23-minute, the quote that everyone said, the greatest 23 minutes of the past decade in terms of with the PK Subban, the Taylor Hall, these guys, Weber, that was the other day. That was great. So today is going to be interesting. There are still some big fish out there. I was listening to the radio earlier with a bunch of the guys. Great stuff. But yeah, there are some guys that are still out there, and it's going to be interesting to see not only what Toronto does, but what the rest of the league does.
Let's just get into the fact that Stamkos is taken out of the pond 2 days before it starts. And there's no question, when we try to figure out how busy it's going to be on free agency day. And usually it is, well, the dominoes will fall when one guy signs and that will make the big difference. Well, that's already happened. Mm-hmm. So that would lead me to believe that teams like, not so much even Toronto, but Buffalo, Detroit, Boston, some of the Vancouver, the teams that were interested have got to be already into plan B, which leads me to believe, I think we're going to have stuff right out of the gate.
Well, I agree with you. I think that the Stamkos deal, number one, first of all, about Steven Stamkos, what does that tell you about what type of leader you have on that team with what he just signed? I mean, I talked with a couple of my friends about it and they go, the impact, there's a couple things, twofold. Number one, Steve Yzerman is happier than any GM in the National Hockey because he knows that all his pending RFAs that are coming through aren't making any more than $8.5 million because this is what our captain makes. I think that's going to keep it down a little bit for him. I think that's a great thing for him. But more importantly, Steven Stamkos knew that he wanted to win in an area and he was willing to take different money. He's been a captain of a team, unfinished business. The attitude in that locker room come training camp has just gone up tenfold in terms of tight team unity and a family unity because your captain is the glue to that team that came back for basically a hometown discount because he believes in the group that he has in Tampa Bay.
And he's comfortable in the city and absolutely. He likes it. So where's the negative there?
There is no negative. And the thing about it is, the thing that hurts other teams is they see what he did in his character where it's not about money. And that hurts even more because, man, that could have been in our locker room, not only just the great player.
And now I got to overpay for somebody I don't like as much as him.
Exactly. Yeah.
No, it's frustrating. Doug McLean's going to join us in a minute or two, but you've got some news on Milan Lucic.
I got a little bit of my sources. We were talking off air. I mean, I haven't been in the business as long as you guys, and it's always, when you're kind of thinking about scoops and things that you got. So some of my, what's the word I'm looking for? My insiders?
Is contacts.
That what it is? Contacts. Mm-hmm. I'm hearing a pretty good, reliable source that the deal with Lucic is pretty much done. I know he's been looking in different areas. And I hope I'm bang on with this because I don't want it to come back to me and go, oh, yeah, good scoop, Lushko. But what I'm hearing, it's not really that big of a secret of where he's going, kind of the term is. But I'm hearing that the deal pretty much is done in Edmonton. Lucic is probably going to be going there. And I'm hearing the term is about 7 years. and we're looking at about $6.25 million per year. So you're looking at about $42 million.
It's a big contract.
It is a big contract.
Edmonton probably in a position to pay pay that, and you're going to have to pay. Like if he's got a choice between teams, it's fair enough to say that Edmonton has to pay more. Or does the Connor McDavid factor at least migrate that maybe a little bit now?
Well, I think that he was going to get Lucic was probably going to get a same number of places. Maybe I've heard obviously Montreal, Dallas was in the mix as well. And you know what? Up to the 11th hour, you never know what happens. He may go from different places.
Of course,
you
can change his mind.
Say right?
Some. What's true? That's one thing about it. We talked about off air about it. What's true at 10:03? If it's shown at 12:02, is no longer true. Doesn't mean it wasn't true at 10:03.
Yes.
And you haven't said he signed. He said it's close. It's almost done. A lot can happen. That's why you got to wait till noon. But it's interesting.
So, I mean, the thing about him is I think that the Connor McDavid. Back to your question. Connor McDavid, absolutely. There's a caveat sitting there. You're going to get a chance to play with a guy like that. Why wouldn't you want to go there? And is it going to, you know, at the end of the day, you know, there's cities that you're going to have to overpay a little bit more to get him. Like, let's call a spade a spade. Edmonton isn't the most lovable, warm city destination where you would want to be. But so maybe you have to pay a little bit more. But having a Connor McDavid there now kind of changes the dynamics of maybe guys having to get overpaid. Now the caveat is, hey, guess what? You get to play with Connor McDavid. Does that excite you a little bit? I'll tell you what, if I was playing, I'd be extremely excited to play with Connor McDavid.
Todd Alushko, Roger Lajoie. It is a Hockey Nation. Glad you're with us. Gord Stellick to join us in the 11 o'clock hour. Renaud Lavoie from TVA in Montreal will join us later in this hour, and we'll get his thoughts on this free agent day. And what the Habs might be thinking and what the Hab fans are thinking after the PK Subban deal, of course. But off the get-go, Doug McLean joins us from Sportsnet to chat about it. Doug, great to chat with you. Happy Canada Day. And are we going to see stuff right out of the gate today, Doug? What's your thoughts on how quickly things unfold today now that the big fish is out of the pond?
Yeah, I think it is, Roger. I think it's going to happen fairly quick. I think guys like Okposo, you know, Ladd, you know, that seeing Chris Russell could be coming to Toronto on a deal. So I think we're going to see some things happen fairly quickly. There's no doubt about that. Erickson, does he end up in Vancouver? Seems to be the word out there that a lot of deals are close to being done. So it'll be interesting to see. But I would think that the bigger guys will move fairly quickly. Nielsen may end up in Detroit. So, you know, that's sort of where it looks right now. But who knows what happens.
Doug, is there any, what's the word in Toronto after they end up, you know, kind of losing out on the Steven Stamkos sweepstakes? Is there anything that Toronto is in dire need of right now? Or are they going to probably sit a little bit tight and maybe it's a blessing in disguise that they didn't get Stamkos, that they can kind of stay the course right now with the rebuilding program that they have in Toronto?
Well, you know what? I mean, they really wanted Stamkos. Anybody that says they didn't doesn't know what they're talking about. They were in they desperately would have liked to make that big splash. So, what do they do now? I'm hearing Chris Russell could be coming on a 5-year deal at pretty steep money for me. I mean, I love Chris Russell, but for me, he's a 4 or 5 guy. So I think they're going to try to look a little differently than last year. Last year was all expiring contracts. This year, I think they'll look for, you know, a couple of guys that maybe a little more long term at the right age that could be here for a while. So, you know, a guy like Chris Russell probably makes sense. Although, the money seems crazy. I want to see what Okposo gets. I mean, does he get into the $7 million range, which is real? I mean, to me, he's the one guy that may hit a home run here today because he's at 2.8. He's 28 years of age. Lucic is going to hit it too. Does he end up in Edmonton? It looks like he could end up in Edmonton, and that's going to be big money and long term, and that one would make me real nervous.
Doug McLean with us, Roger Lajoie, and Todd Alushko here, Hockey Nation. Doug, we know you got to run. We'll just keep you another minute or two. I got to ask you about then the other suitors, or at least alleged suitors for Stamkos. There's no question Toronto was interested. We know Buffalo was too. Detroit cleared some room. There are other teams. How do they react, you know, knowing, you know, 2 days prior that there will be no tension about that? Do they immediately get into plan B? That's what I meant in terms of like getting it out of the gate pretty quickly here, because now all bets are off. If the big guy's gone, all right, let's get whoever we can grab here.
Well, I you know, it's funny. I'm hearing today that it was probably San Jose that was the one that was really the front runner for Stamkos, you know, of the group you just mentioned. So what do they try to do? I mean, obviously, it would be a place that would appeal to San Jose because Marlowe and Thornton are going to be leaving fairly soon. But, you know, it'll be interesting to see what all of them do. Backus is another name that they're here. St. Louis made another offer to him last night, so we'll see where he ends up. But, yeah, I think you're right, Rod. I think there's going to be some action pretty quick as people are trying to shore up that top six group. It's a weak defense group, but a guy like Demers will go fairly quickly, I would think. So I think you're going to see quite a bit of action right out of the hop.
Let's hope so, because that's part of the fun on July 1st. Yep. Doug McLean, a big part of our coverage on Sportsnet. Doug, thanks so much. Enjoy the day, my friend.
All the best. Thanks, man.
Thank you, sir. That's Doug McLean of Sportsnet. It is interesting when you talk about making you nervous and everything else. If I'm a general manager and I'm sitting down, I'm nervous with any of these guys. Let's be honest. Mm-hmm. But on the flip side, as you mentioned, with especially Lucic in Edmonton, there is a factor that certain franchise. Let's go back to Stamkos for a second. I think the Leafs would have loved him, but I think they're okay without him. I think Buffalo would have loved him. I think they're okay without him. Detroit would have loved him, and they're not okay without him. And I'm not suggesting Ken Holland, who knows more about hockey than anybody in on the planet just about, is going to make a knee-jerk reaction. But the Red Wings have to do something, don't they?
Well, I think the Red Wings are that one team that believes that they can still compete. And I think that they freed up, obviously when they freed up the Datsyuk cap space, that was specifically designed so they can take a run at Steven Stamkos. And if not Steven Stamkos, another high-profiled unrestricted free agent. And I could see a guy like Franz Nielsen wanting to go there, but I know that the New York Islanders really want him. They had to make a decision between him and Okpozo, and I know that they would love to get Franz, and if the number is right. But, you know, it's interesting, Roger, because I want to just jump back real quick to the Stamkos thing. To me, Stamkos was kind of like, you know, when you go out and you're about to buy a brand new car, you're looking, do I go and buy that $50,000 BMW, mind you, that'd be a cheap BMW nowadays, but a $50,000 car, or do I decide I'm going to get something a couple of years old and I'm going to go with a used deal? When you're in there and that big, nice, shiny car is just, it's like, you're just looking at it, you're like, man, I got to have that. I really want it. But you're so nervous to spend that extra money. And if you don't get it, you're kind of like, oh, okay, at least I saved some money. I've got my a secondhand car that I'm happy with. But if you do buy it, it's kind of like you've got a little bit of buyer's remorse at the beginning. But then all of a sudden you start driving, you're like, oh my God, I'm so glad I ended up getting this. That's what I equate.
Well, I hear you on that, but I got my analogy then. Yeah. And it's more than $50,000. But like a $200,000 car, and you go, oh, well, thank goodness. You know what would make me feel worse? If I had to pay $100,000 for a car that's only worth $40,000.
Yeah, no,
because
exactly.
I didn't get the big one. That's the problem for me.
Yeah.
You see, Stamkos was different, Todd. I'm just stating what other people have said. He was different in terms of age. Former 60-goal scorer, multiple 40-goal scorer, 26 years of age. As it turns out, the contract not even that bad. He's still a couple of million dollars a year behind the top. It's a great deal for them.
Yep.
So I don't think there's any kind of, I'm glad. I think if you got him in a quarter, I think the teams that really wanted him go, damn.
Yep.
And now you're thinking, if I got to pay $100,000 for a car that's worth $50,000 because I want it today, or am I not going to drive a car at all until later on the year? That's the more look I look at it, and that's where I get nervous. Like, I see some players on this market, I'm going, 7 years, big dog. You know what? I'll sign Brian Campbell before I do that.
Yeah. Well, don't get me wrong. I agree. Stamkos would have been worth every penny he got from whoever he got. I'm just stating that the teams that didn't get him, it's kind of like, okay, it sucks. I wanted to have this guy, but now I have all this cap space I can do what I want with. But you are, to your point, Raj, it's very, very scary. And I mean, you could go back, and as I find my sheet, I look back at, for instance, what Toronto's done in the free agent signings over the past from 2015, and not overpaying guys, but I mean, I look down a list from Matt Hunwick, P.A. Parenteau, Mark Arcabello last year, to Robida Komarov in 2014, Tim Connolly in 2011, Colby Armstrong 2010. These are all things that have happened on July 1st of what Toronto did. Mike Komisarek and Colton Orr in 2009. You look at Toronto's history, they haven't gone crazy with the exception of David Bolin, but that wasn't that was not on July the 1st. But I think that GMs are a little bit more weary, the good ones are weary of overspending. But with that being said, someone today, to your point, will be getting paid way too much for what they're actually worth. And down the road, you're going to be kicking yourself because you're like, why did I overreact? Why did I pay this much? But there's teams out there that believe that they can win the Stanley Cup next year, and they think by signing this guy long-term now is going to give them the opportunity to win next year. So there's going to be some crazy signings again because that's what the market's going to bear at this particular moment when teams want a specific guy.
Detroit Red Wings have inked Darren Helm to a five-year deal with a 3.85 AVV. That seems to be a reasonable deal. They still have $14.18 million for the cap, so they can still make a big mark in free agency, but they get a kind of guy that they're familiar with doing it. I guess that's how they've been able to hang in as long as they have with that playoff streak without the star. Those kind of guys aren't the home run guys, but you talk about a degree of comfort, and that makes perfect sense.
Oh, absolutely. It's the guy that you know, and Darren Helm has got incredible speed. He's one of those guys that that what you're getting on a consistent basis, and that's where the NHL is going. It's not so much the big rugged guy. If you can get a big rugged guy that can play, that has decent wheels, those guys are valuable. But you look at what Pittsburgh did this year in the Stanley Cup final. They did it with guys like a Darren Helm type player, speed, quickness. That's what helped them win the Stanley Cup, and I think that's a great signing back. I think the cap hit is, I think, 3.5 for Helm is very reasonable, and I don't know if that's a hometown discount or not, but I think that's a great deal for a player of his caliber and to be able to stay back at home with Detroit where he's very comfortable and where they know him.
An important day to do it, too. You do it before the free agent pool goes in. It gives you the flexibility. You know where it's done. It's out there, and it's done. And then a free agent looks and sees, okay, they're looking after their own guys. They're making some moves. The team is still competitive. They're still in, so I like the move. So let's talk about some of the other guys. And Renaud Lavoie is going to join us from TVI the bottom of the hour, and we'll get his view on Montreal and some of the Canadian teams. But let's talk about some of the other guys that are out there. And none of them are really turning the crank for me. Some people look at Louis Erickson as a guy that would be in high demand. I don't dislike Louis Erickson. I just don't like him enough to make him part of a free agent frenzy. What about him, some of the other guys that are also listed as potential hits here?
Well, I mean, you've got to look at some of them. I mean, Doug was talking about David Backes and potentially re-signing with the St. Louis Blues. I mean, the thing for me is you've got to look at the age of these guys. And I mean, most of these guys are, 28 and above and into the 30s and stuff. And David Backes is a very good player. And I can see him, for instance, I think St. Louis would maybe like to retain him. And I could see him maybe going back. I think that he'd be somewhere in the range of maybe a $5.2 million guy at 4 years. I don't think he's going to get any more term than that from anybody. But I think I could see a guy like that wanting to maybe stick back in St. Louis. And, that's a team that is a contender that still wants to win. So, Mikhail Boddicker, I think that also he's going to garner somewhere in the range of a $2.5 million type dollar deal. And I'm looking at him maybe at a five-year deal. One of the teams I think could use a guy like that would be the Colorado Avalanche, right? Just end up getting down there, and they've got a young, good team and up and coming. And I think they'd be willing to give him a little bit of longer term. But the one guy that I think is a very valuable guy, and I don't know if you talked about this guy earlier, but I really like Brian Campbell.
Yeah, me too.
I think Brian Campbell would be a perfect fit. Obviously, there's talk of him going back to Chicago. And if you can get this guy on a short term, which, I mean, he's 37 years old, but he still does everything right. All the analytics talk about how good this guy still is at this age. And if he's willing to come down a little bit, I don't know how much of a bargain he would give, but I think a two-year deal, maybe to a team like Chicago, maybe even Dallas, would be a spot for him. And I don't know. I think that his rate's going to be somewhere around the $6 million for 2 years. I think that's kind of what the market's going to bear for him.
See, Brian Campbell is an example because of the whole free agent frenzy kind of deal. He got a monstrous contract.
Huge,
then yeah. He was dealt as part of an embarrassing deal to a team that's just trying to get the bottom of the cap. And we all know the deal. But that's not his fault.
No.
I don't care if he's making $8 million or $2 million. You look at the player and you think, is that a serviceable NHL defenseman? He plays 20-plus minutes a night. He's a veteran presence. Everything I've heard, he's a good guy in the room. The analytics people support him in terms of what he can do. And in a defenseman, especially, you look at those numbers, I do at least a little bit more in terms of like, well, it is a measurement scale. He's a popular player. It's not, he got a stigma with him. He's making so much money.
Yeah.
He is a very good NHL defenseman who, to get back to the car analogy, is a good value for the car.
He sure is.
That's value in a guy like that. Now, because it's July 1st, though, if everybody feels that way, then you wonder if, he's prepared to take the haircut, but it's like, What if somebody comes in and gets a little desperate later in the day? You see, I'd be surprised if he jumps the gun, signs pretty quickly. I think that's the kind of guy that's, well, wait and see. And then by July 3rd, 4th, 5th, all of a sudden teams going, yeah, you know what, Brian Campbell. But I talked to Jeff Merrick about him earlier. I love Brian Campbell.
Yeah, I think if someone hits his mark and he's got a general idea of what he wants, I think you'll see him get scooped up rather quickly rather than later, just because I think if a team knows that this is the type of player that we want, same thing analogy as in a draft. If you're sitting there at number three or number four pick and you want that guy, but you think maybe he'll slide down in the draft or whatever, maybe you're thinking maybe I'll trade down and I'll get a
him
draft
later.
Pick for
mm-hmm.
If you want that guy, you go get him. And unfortunately for the players in July 1st, it's great to be the fact that Stamkos is out of the running and a couple other guys are gone. This is great for these guys. It's going to help them out. And again, we talked about it. Are they worth that the dollar values that they're going to get? Probably not. But people will be desperate and people will start paying. The one other guy that I want to talk about real quick was Kalapozo. Like we just talked about him. I think a team that he may go to would be a team like Buffalo. I really do. I think Buffalo was all in for Stamkos. They wanted him. They've got tons of salary cap room. They've got a young team in there, but they want to win right now. They want to
make some progress.
Oh, they
fast.
Really do. Mm-hmm. And I think a guy like that would slide in there. And I think Buffalo would be willing to give this guy a 7-year contract. And I think they would overspend at him. And I think he's looking at the range of about a $7 million per year.
Would Detroit
as well.
Do that too?
For a Pozo? I don't know.
No.
I don't know. I think Buffalo would. I think if I don't recall, I think he had a couple teammates that he played in college with in Buffalo. I'd have to look at exactly who it is again. But I think Buffalo really wants to make a statement. They've got a great young player in Eichel and a bunch of other good guys there. They're the team that maybe Toronto wants to emulate. 2 or 3 years down the road, they want to be where they are right now. But I think Buffalo Sabres with a couple pickups will be a team that would definitely push for a playoff spot next year.
That's Todd Alushko. I'm Roger Lajoie. Gord Stellick joins us in the 11 o'clock hour. And coming up, Renaud Lavoie joins us from TV Sports in Montreal. The Canadians make a deal. They get hammered in a lot of quarters for that deal. How about that deal and how active can they be? We'll take a look at all the free agent Canadian teams as well and see if there'll be activity on Canada's side of the border or not. It is Hockey Nation. I'm Roger Lajoie. Gord Stellick joins us after 11 o'clock. Todd Alushko is here. Stick around an hour 38 and the chips start to fall on Free Agent Day on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Sportsnet Radio Network.
As an unlicensed doctor, we suggest a prescription for one of our shows. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Fake doctor's orders. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
Countdown is on. We are under 90 minutes away from the official start of free agent frenzy. Hockey Central signing season coverage begins at 11 o'clock Eastern on all Sportsnet regional channels and Sportsnet 1. I'm Roger Lajoie here for Gord Stellick. Gord will join us in the 11 o'clock hour. Todd Alushko here as always, joining us now to give his spin from the Montreal side. Renaud Lavoie of TVA joins us in Montreal. Renaud, thanks very much for being with us. Happy Canada Day to you, sir. And I don't know if Hab fans calmed down after yesterday, Renaud, or 2 days ago, Renaud. What a blockbuster shocker that was.
Yeah, I think so. It was a huge treat for the Montreal Canadiens. But at the end of the day, I feel like you can sense the impact of that trade already for the Montreal Canadiens group. You look at the possibility that Milan Lucic will be a Montreal Canadiens. It's not going to happen, but I think Milan was really, really intrigued about Shea Weber coming to Montreal. I think it's going to give the Canadiens management more, I'm not going to use the word flexibility, but I think there'll be more people knocking on the Canadiens' door and just because of a guy like Shea Weber arriving with Montreal. The impact of this player will have on this organization is quite big, to be honest with you. And I feel like it's going to be interesting to see who's going to come to Montreal in the next few days and maybe in the next few years.
Renaud, there's speculation, some rumors out. Alex Radulov is a candidate, a serious candidate to sign with the Canadiens. You hearing anything on that front? And how about that as a fit?
Listen, obviously, with Milan Lucic being out of the possibility of coming to Montreal, as you know, everything's the thing right now. It's an information that got to me that I received a few minutes ago. Obviously, I'm looking at it now. I think it's a strong possibility, but I need to wait on a confirmation on that.
Renal, you're talking about players wanting to come to teams because of a certain guy. Obviously, Shea Weber is a world-class defenseman, and I think that the people in Montreal are going to soon love him as soon as they get him into a Habs uniform and see what he can actually do. But is there somebody out there in the open market right now that, outside of Lucic, I also heard that he's probably going to Edmonton, outside of that would maybe come to Edmonton or come to Montreal and maybe play with a Shea Weber? So looking for another defenseman. Is there someone out there right now that would be a good fit, or is there someone within the organization going to be a good fit for Shea?
There's a lot of rumors right now about Chris Russell coming to Montreal. I think the Oilers, the Flames are interested in Chris Russell too. So I think that we'll wait and see what's going to happen. But for sure, the Canadiens are looking at every options right now. They were really, really looking at a forward. They need a left winger badly. You look at the second line right now, there's Thomas Plekanec there, and there's nothing much left after, like on the left side or on the right side. So for Marc Bergevin, it is really important right now to find good forwards before getting a good D. But look at Chris Russell as a possibility for the Montreal Canadiens, yes.
Renaud Lavoie with us from TVI in Montreal. Roger Lajoie, Todd Halushko with you as we continue on Hockey Nation. Renaud, we'll just keep you for a couple more minutes. Another factor, of course, on free agency day is how teams think they did at the draft, how positioned they are, and what are they doing? Are they go-in mode? Because if you're going to be a free agent spender, you're kind of all-in mode. At least most teams are there. And if you're rebuilding, you're kind of rebuilding. The Canadiens never rebuild, as we all know, but how much urgency is there to fill some of those holes you've talked about in a team which still has Carey Price? And as long as you have Carey Price, well, I got to believe you're always in go-in mode, aren't you?
Exactly. And one thing for sure, it's for a lot of GMs. If you talk to Marc Bergevin, if you talk to Jim Rutherford, if you talk to, I'll say, easily half of the GM in the leagues, they're really scared about July 1st because, as you know, they overpay their players sometime by a lot. I'm hearing Lou Eriksson signing with the Canucks via 7-year contract around $6 million per season. For Jim Benning right now, it's not a problem because probably won't be there in 7 years or in 6 years if things go south. But it's going to be a problem, obviously, for the organization at one point. Lou Eriksson is a great player, but he's 30 years old already. I think that there's a lot of GMs who really like the fact that there is some UFAs available, younger players between 26 and 30 years old or 29 years old. And those players are really maybe the type of a guy like McGinn, who played for the Avalanche and played for the Ducks, is the type of player that's going under the radar, but at the end of the day, there's still a chance that he could sign a good deal with a team because he can bring a lot of things on the table, and that's what you need to look. Don't look at the superstars all the time trying to hit home run. It's not going to work sometimes on July 1st, but it's maybe your third line that's really going to help you in the long run because you're not going to overpay it.
Renaud Lavoie joining us from TVA in Montreal as a free agency gets underway officially in an hour and 24 minutes. Already a lot of rumors out there. Renaud, we really appreciate your time. Thank you, sir. Enjoy the day.
Yeah, you too. Take care, guys.
Thank you. That's Renaud Lavoie of TVA. Again, numerous reports out there, nothing confirmed yet, that Alex Radulov will sign with the Montreal Canadiens. If he does, well, that's what Renaud was just talking about in terms of the Shea Weber connection, a fit for a team. And again, I go back to it. Montreal first of all, usually has to overpay. And secondly, you look for some degree of comfort when it comes in there. And bringing Weber in, if that results in a connection for Radulov, I got mixed feelings on Radulov, but there's no denying his skills.
Well, yeah, and I'm sure that Shea Weber would have some serious input if that did happen. You know, talking about his personality, what he can bring to the dressing room, if you can handle a guy like that. The one thing, again, about Shea Weber that people underestimate, you don't see him that much, he's over in Nashville, but this guy is, number one, he's a top five defenseman in the world, but he brings an element of leadership to that locker room in Montreal that I think they're sorely missing, and someone that they need. So that's another guy. I mean, you bring in guys, all of a sudden you put guys in that maybe you're uncertain about. You know everything is going to be taken care of from internally in the dressing room. There's not going to be any issues in there because you have a guy of Weber's stature in there handling everything. So, you know, not only was it it's an interesting move on both parts. I still think PK Subban is an unbelievable player. I still think it's a little one-sided. But when everything comes down and everything's said and done, for the short term, I think Montreal is going to be extremely happy that they do have Weber because, like you said, there'll be other outstanding circumstances that are going to be beneficial to Montreal having that guy in their organization.
I love Shea Weber. I think he's a great player. I don't think he's anywhere near done, some people suggest. I know he had a terrible game 7 in the second round of the playoffs, but
They look at the 10-year contract. That's what they're looking at.
And they're looking at the end.
Not
they're
the next 5 years.
And they're looking
at
the popularity of the player going the other way, which is great. And I 100%. Love PK just like everybody does. However, what tips it in Nashville's favor, in my mind, is the difference in age. There's a four-year gap, and that's when you're making a one-for-one deal in today's day and age in the NHL, when it's a 27 for a 31-year-old, even though I love Shea Weber, then you have to side with the other team. That's how I look at it.
You do, and if Shea Weber's contract wasn't 10 years and it was 5 years, then maybe people are saying, oh, my God, that's a great deal. Maybe Montreal won the deal. You know, that's what it is. It's that 10-year remaining term on his contract that people are looking at. They're not looking at the ability of that defenseman, what he has right now. They're looking at the term. And if you're looking at that, yeah, it's going to be tough. You don't really imagine he's going to be at the top of his game when he's 37, 38, 39. But then again, there's guys like Brian Campbell that are still playing at a very high level. But again, if it was a shorter term, then you're going to get different opinions and people wouldn't think this is such a one-sided trade.
Without question, that's Todd Ilyushko. I'm Roger Lajoie. This is Hockey Nation. We are here until noon and plenty of coverage coming right through the day on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Top of the hour, Eastern time, 11 o'clock Eastern time, wherever you are in the country. You can turn on your TVs as well. Sportsnet Regionals and Sportsnet 1 will have Hockey Central signing season. All the details, and of course, Gord will join us in the 11 o'clock hour as well, and he and Todd will go over some of the rumors, lots of rumors, speculation, and we caution, you're going to hear a million things until things are official. However, Sportsnet also talking about, and Chris Johnson talking about what you talked about, that the Oilers expected would take 7 years and at least $42 million for Lucic to sign in Edmonton, and if that's the signing the Oilers have to make, I still think in terms of the teams that are really need to move, Edmonton and Montreal went to the front of the list for two reasons. First of all, they've got holes. they need players. And secondly, on the heels of those deals, not the PR element, just for the franchise's good to do something quickly. And it's not just appeasing the base, sign Lucic just to keep the fans happy. No, it's the priorities here. Whereas teams like the Leafs, I don't think have that desperation. Just they're still rebuilding.
I think you're bang on. I don't think that Toronto, you're not going to see them make a huge splash. I think what you're going to see from Toronto is a couple veteran moves, maybe, and maybe not even day one, maybe wait till a couple days from now, but I don't think they're going to overspend. I think they're going to sit tight. I think they're going to evaluate their young talent. There's a lot of young guys that they may want to have the opportunity to give them a chance to play next year. But with that said, you still need a little bit of veterans sprinkled here and there. You may even see a P.A. Parenteau sign back with Toronto. That's one guy. Maybe even a Brad Boyes. You never know. You need to fill your roster spots a little bit, but I can't see them overpaying. But, you know, at the end of the day, when you're looking at the other teams like Montreal and Edmonton, I think they're ready to make a splash in Edmonton, number one. I think the Lucic deal, is going to happen, like I said earlier, but also because they're moving into a new building. They get rid of Taylor Hall. There's a few people that want to see something done. People like in Montreal, people in Edmonton were shocked and said, man, did we ever get fleeced on that deal with Taylor Hall by making that trade with Larson. But at the end of the day, yeah, they want to try to get some pieces in there to make them better. That's ultimately what this is about. It's not about appeasing all the fans. That's a part of it. But at the end of the day, in Montreal and Edmonton, they're trying to make their team better. And if they can do that today on July 1st, they'll do it.
Well, and it offsets the effects, the negative effects, at least in a lot of people's minds. And I'm not saying Radulov appeases Montreal. The Canadiens fans are going to be angry all summer about this deal. But if it leads to other things happening, it's the big picture of everything. It's the same thing when people talk about the Leafs rebuild and the discussion of Stamkos again. It wasn't a case of like, well, rebuild or what are you doing? You're going against. You're trying to be better.
Yep.
And the big picture, yeah, you're still rebuilding. It's still your young picks. But if you can add something immediately that helps you, you go ahead and do it. So it's the same thing with the Habs. There's a guy I want to talk about. Because he's not, I don't expect him to sign anywhere soon, but he's going to sign somewhere. Goaltending is the most important position in hockey. Nobody drafts a goaltender in the first round because it's too risky. You just kind of pick up a goaltender sometimes on the fly. Yet, all 30 NHL teams, according to most reports, and I think most analysts will say, kind of have their number one guy.
Yep.
So where does that leave James Reimer?
Yeah, that's a tough one for James. I mean, here's a guy, too, that's just been doing yeoman's work. He goes in and never complained. When he was in Toronto and, you know, whether the job was his or got taken away from him, never complained, just went out and did his job. And he was very consistent and he's a very, very good goaltender. The problem for James Reimer right now is what you said. Every team in the NHL has their number one guy. So for James Reimer, he's got to look to see, obviously he doesn't want to be a backup. He'll take the role if he has to, but preferably he wants to be a number one guy. He's got to look to an organization, I believe, that he thinks that, okay, maybe I'm going to step in as a number one guy or number two guy, but I would love the opportunity. We talked about it. He's not going to want to go to like a New York Rangers and step in behind a Henrik Lundqvist or, in Florida, go behind Luongo. He wants to be somewhere where the team is maybe young, they're growing, and there may be potential for him to step in. And I think one of the good places right now for him to be will maybe be reunited with Brian Burke again back in Calgary. Looking at maybe a two-year deal, somewhere in the range of $2.5 million. I think that he goes into that organization. Brian Elliott's a nice fit. They obviously addressed that need at the trade deadline, Calgary did. But I think that that would be a type of place that makes the most sense for James Reimer. Brian Elliott has to prove himself. They're going to give him the number one job. But if he can't run with it and things don't go well, you want to be in a position where you can jump in and you can take that job from him. And I think that if you want to become that number one guy again, James Reimer has to look to what's going to be beneficial for him in the future in terms of maybe I'm not going to start out at that number one, which I don't think he will right now. He's not going to be anointed that. Unfortunately for him, he's going to be in a number two starting position again, and it'll be up to him to try to gain that number one role. And the problem about that means that the number one goaltender that the team you're going to is going to falter. So he never wishes unluckiness on anybody he's going to join, but that's what James Reimer, I think, is looking for, is an opportunity to reestablish himself as a number one goalie, and I think the Calgary Flames would be the spot for him to go.
Numerous reports continue to be out. Alexander Radulov will sign with the Montreal Canadiens, no confirmation, and of course for unrestricted free agents, there'll be no confirmation until past noon, and several reports circulating that Brian Campbell will sign with the Chicago Blackhawks. That would not be a huge supply. Again, we're just putting this out there. Rumors and are out there. We will know nothing official until afternoon. Campbell going back to Chicago makes perfect sense, especially in terms of, you talk about where a contract at this stage of the game, he's 37. All right, mm-hmm. put yourself in his 37. Yeah. He knows he's going to make far less, but he's already made an absolute ton of money. He goes back to a place he's familiar with, where they like him. He's a good guy, and they're perennial cup favorites. It's hard to see that not happening.
Oh, that's the perfect fit for Brian Campbell. It is going back to Chicago. You know, Chicago gets by St. Louis this year in the first round. They could very well have won the cup. So they ran into a very hot St. Louis team. This team doesn't need a lot of tweaking in Chicago to get them back to the finals again. And I think the fact that there was an early exit for Chicago is going to give them that much more energy. Guys aren't going to be tired. They're going to make a serious pitch at winning the Stanley Cup again next year, and adding the quality of a Brian Campbell, and I'm pretty sure the term is only going to be about a 2-year deal at a cap hit that they can absorb. You're getting a veteran guy, like you said, Roger, knows the players within there. The locker room's not going to be a mystery to him. A great team guy. He will fit seamlessly in Chicago.
Radulov is interesting, and other reports and people are talking about, and again, nothing's official. In terms of the character, though, and how it fits into a room. And we talked about the connection with Shea Weber, who's definitely a leader, and at least there's familiarity there. But sometimes a familiarity is not always a good thing. Maybe some people realize that this isn't the kind of guy. Montreal made that disastrous sign of Alex Semin. They've brought in guys, and I'm not comparing the two because they're not the same kind of player. But Radulov isn't, you know, known as the best guy either. How about that fit? Not just never mind Montreal, but how important is it on a free agency day that that enters into the equation? Or is it all about the analytics, the Excel spreadsheet, and figure out the rest later?
I guess it depends who's running your team,
yeah.
What they believe in, but I'll tell you what, as a former player, I've been in locker rooms where we have brought players in that have been that came in seamlessly, whether they were superstar guys or role players. It can disrupt a team or it can make a team. And when you bring someone in that has a background that is less than positive, and maybe has a skill set of that of a Sidney Crosby, at the end of the day, if the character in the dressing room doesn't match the skill set, I'm very hesitant to sign someone like that to give them third and fourth chances. The problem is when you do have the skill set like Radulov, it becomes very, very enticing to think, well, he's got the skill set. We've got the leadership group in the dressing room. They can handle him. Let's give it a chance. And we've seen that blow up a lot of times in a lot of people's faces when they do that with certain players. So I think that you have to do your due diligence. You got to look for the element of maturity. Has that player changed? A lot of research has got to go in before you're going to give a guy. And rumors are Radulov, if he does sign, he's looking in the neighborhood of $7.5 million. So it's not
a cheap contract.
Yeah, it's not a cheap contract whatsoever. So you have to be 100% certain. But I'm telling you, Raj, as an ex-player, I know that if someone comes in and has a toxic personality, it can destroy a locker room in a heartbeat. So you have to be extremely careful, and you have to know that the people that are within your locker room are able to handle that type of character. Because if you can't, it can kill a dressing room so quickly. A
couple of other rumors out there. Elliot Friedman reporting, so it's more than a rumor, is that the Islanders and Franz Nielsen have moved on, and barring a last-minute change of heart, he will go to the free agent market. Same for David Backes, who met with the Blues this morning, according to reports, and is going to dip the toe in free agency officially afternoon. Remember, again, teams can talk to them, and again, something can be done before noon, but it's not official until afternoon, looks like Backes. And Andrew Ladd, who's an interesting guy we haven't talked too much about in terms of where he lands, had a scheduled meeting, we are told, according to reports, with the Detroit Red Wings this morning that did not take place, giving the indication he has made a decision somewhere else, or perhaps the Red Wings had moved on. I thought that might be a fit for Detroit because we talked about their need to do something earlier in the show.
Well, yeah, again, it's going to be interesting to see what Detroit does. I mean, this is obviously a team that has created cap space by getting rid of the Datsyuk contract, and they're a team that doesn't see themselves as a rebuilding team right now. They think that they can still compete, and they're a few pieces away, and it's a proud organization. They've made the playoffs decade after decade. So, you know, for them, I think it's going to be interesting to watch them as the day goes on to see exactly what Detroit does do. I think they are going to be one of the main players in today's July 1st draft, free agency draft, trying to dip their toe in and see what they can get. Another interesting note came up. Chris Johnstone ended up saying that the Toronto Maple Leafs have been kicking tires on James Wisniewski. So there's one of the guys that we're thinking about in Toronto that, you know, they're not going to go crazy for guys, but they want to kind of add a veteran here and there, but they want to make sure that it's not going to cost them their future.
Well, he was bought out by Carolina yesterday, exactly. So it won't. Well,
that's what I mean. And this is the other thing. I was going to bring this one name up, and I don't know if this is going to be someone that Toronto would be interested in, but, you know, I know him personally, and it's Dennis Seidenberg from the Boston Bruins. He gets bought out yesterday at 2 years remaining on his contract. He gets bought out. He's 34 years old. Is this the type of guy, not Toronto, but other teams that maybe if you're either going for it, you think this guy can fill in as a fifth or sixth guy for you at a discounted rate? I mean, he was scheduled to make $4 million this year. They buy him out. He's not done by any means. And this is a type of player that I think can go two ways. You can go with a contender, someone that thinks that they can get him as a depth guy, or a team like Toronto. I know he's a left shot. Toronto's looking for a right-handed defenseman. But you bring a guy in on a two-year deal like a Dennis Seidenberg that bridges the gap and holds a spot again for guys down the road. I mean, this is the type of player that I think is going to be in demand. And I think a player like Dennis Seidenberg is going to find a spot rather sooner than later, even though he did get bought out, because he got bought out in Boston, not because he's a bad player, but because they had to make room for the Torrey Krug signs and maybe a Jacob Trouba offer sheet. They're looking for the future, but it does not mean that some of these guys that got bought out still can't play the game.
Speaking of Boston, Joe Haggerty is going to join us shortly from CSNNE in Boston. Talk about what the Bruins are doing. The hot rumors out there right now, Radulov to Montreal, Campbell to Chicago. But the hot rumors after 12 noon will become fact, or at least some of them, and perhaps most of them. Stick around for that. Hockey Central signing season is now on at 11 a.m. in just 8 minutes on all Sportsnet regional channels and Sportsnet 1. We'll continue with Hockey Nation on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Sportsnet Radio Network in just a moment. Gord Stella coming in our 11 o'clock hour as well. Todd Alushko, Roger Lajoie. This is Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Sportsnet Radio Network.